Check 1, 2. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. My name is Dean. Welcome to Monday. Lots went on this weekend in and around this beautiful country of ours as we broadcast live from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and of course, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Joining me as well this morning, as he does every single weekday, basically every single weekday, depending on when we decide to do this, Mr. Lachlan Cross, 957 Cruise FM. In Edmonton. And before we get into it, we've got a Bills loss to talk about, like one of the worst losses in sports history. We've got some other sports history that happened. We're going to intertwine that with some fuck Trudeau stuff today, which will be interesting. Sean Strickland, who lit the Canadian world on fire, who hates the gays, let us know that last week he lost his championship belt this weekend. So there's some fallout from that. We're going to get into some free speech versus hate speech stuff and have some fun along the way, because Donald Trump is the syphilis is taking hold in his neuropathy. I love it. He's lost his mind. But
you got to give him credit for nicknames, but I do appreciate the Dementia Don hashtag.
Syphilis Don's not bad.
Like, it works dude. Both ways, Don.
Yeah, yeah. We can give you those names too, buddy. But I want to start with the opening five, because you're selling a t-shirt that probably, and I just found out that you signed Corey Perry because of the t-shirt that you guys are selling.
He was on the ice this morning.
With the Edmonton Oilers, of course, Lachlan is in beautiful downtown Edmonton. That's where he broadcasts from. Oilers apparently have Corey Perry in on a PTO, kicked out of the Blackhawks organization for allegedly doing something with someone's mom. That was the rumor. So,
okay, well, that was the rumor, and then they tried to pivot from that.
Yeah. Yeah, they tried to pivot from the rumor.
And then they just made it worse, right?
Well, they denied it. Like, yeah, 1,000 times.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Stop talking about it.
Let me ask you a question.
Well, could you want to show the t-shirt first?
Well, show the t-shirt. Show the t-shirt, and then I'll ask you a question.
This is available on the Locker Room merch page, ladies and gentlemen. I think this is in terrible
case. Send me a note. I'll send you the link.
Absolutely terrible taste, and I fucking love it, too. I don't know why. Stay away from my mom shirts.
Wear them to the game. It's Oilers colors, too.
You're never going to sell these. You're never going to sell a bunch of
them. We might sell a few.
Yeah, but that's not the idea. Like, that's my problem.
It doesn't matter. It's the fact that we did it. Okay, here's the thing. I want to ask you something. Do you think this is in poor taste? Like, honestly. Yes,
I do.
And why?
Which is a lot for me.
But hold on. Do you think that we shouldn't be talking about the rumor? Because we get people defending these guys constantly, and they get mad at us when we talk about it. And
what is going on? Well, because it's a hurtful rumor. That's why they get mad at you for it. It's because it's wrong. Like, you don't know if Corey Perry banged Connor Bedard's mom.
Deep down in my heart, I know what happened. All right.
Deep by the down mom. In my heart.
They come in all sizes.
It's because it's a hurtful rumor. And, you know, Connor Bedard is still a human being. The mom had to deactivate her entire account. I personally,
I don't feel sorry for them. I mean, and the thing is, it probably did happen.
Feel sorry for Connor. You'll never let it go. You want to keep this thing alive. Just so you can sell a t-shirt to like four angry dicks.
I'm annoyed by sports donkeys, right? And they get a little too high and mighty for me. Yeah. Listen, my dad put skates on me about a week and a half after I could walk.
Whose skates? Were they someone else's?
They were mine.
Okay.
They were mine. They were probably used. But he put me on the ice, and I played hockey until I broke my tailbone when I was 40. I spent a lot of time in locker rooms, okay? Hockey players are not the most politically correct individuals, okay? They're not the smartest individuals.
Correct.
And listen, they're stereotypes for a reason. And are there smart hockey players? Absolutely. But when something like this gets out, or somebody does something stupid, they don't deserve to be protected.
No, but hold
just because they're that's hockey players.
That's not the whole point behind the Corey Perry banged Connor Bedard's mom. rumor. That's not the whole point. You can't. You can't
believe
say,
it, don't you?
No, I don't. I don't believe it. I mean, they protested too much, right? Like they kept alluding to the fact that certain family things didn't happen. And I'm like, listen, if it wasn't Bedard's mom, might have been another mom, might have been a sister, might have been an aunt. Maybe some hot aunt flashed into town one day. Maybe it was like Strickland's aunt or Bedard's aunt. And they came in and Corey Perry's 38. He's looking like a snack because the aunt's only 36, right? Keep in mind, a lot of the guys that are rookies in the NHL have parents in their 30s and 40s, right? Pure smoke.
No. Corey Perry is the exact same age as Connor Bedard's mom. And this whole thing went down during the mom's trip. Yes, it did.
No, you don't know that. That's my point. Either way, you're not going to sell a bunch of those stay away from my mom Oilers themed shirts.
All right.
But a heck of a pickup, because I was clamoring last week for Corey Perry to sign in Toronto. I'm like, fuck.
Well, the Rangers were looking at him. Tampa Bay was looking at them. Yeah. You know what? Yeah. We're all just sort of still collectively as a fan base here in Edmonton, holding our breaths regarding this team and the potential success. We've got 13 in a row. They play again tomorrow, Tuesday. Columbus is in town.
I'm jealous.
Yeah. And you know what? And this is just one of many sports things happening right now. It's with the football and with the UFC in Toronto this past weekend.
Yeah, it was a big weekend. Big weekend. Dude, did you? Okay, so I want to get to Strickland losing, of course. We were fairly outspoken last week, and the MMA bro mob came for us online yesterday and all weekend, actually. Did you see that?
I was getting attacked, too.
You got called a groomer for suggesting that making fun of gay people is wrong. I love that line, by the way. Groomer. He's allowed to say that. Groomer.
Apparently, you and I are part of the problem, which I don't know what that means.
And they run out of things, right? They're like, you're part of the problem. Nuremberg, groomer. It's the same thing. It's all the same thing. So that happened. I want to get to it because Strickland lost, and we'll get to the reaction, freedom of speech, Dana White's comments and stuff like that from this weekend's UFC 297, which was in Toronto. Hell of an event. I watched it. Didn't pay for it, which is another whole subject I want to get to. And the other thing that happened this weekend, which is I am incredibly sad about, by the way, the MMA stuff has got a little FU Trudeau in there too, so that'll be fun. About 2 years ago, to protect myself so I could enjoy watching Leaf playoff games, I decided to rest my expectations, right? I decided that nothing was more important to me than my peace of mind, my ability to survive a sporting event that I was incredibly vested in. It's a lot of people like me out there. They're like, you might watch part of the game from like behind a doorway. You know what I mean? And I'm like, this is fucking ridiculous. Like, I get so excited for these games, for a Leaf playoff game. And for 5 years in a row, you lose in the first round. It's like, fuck, why am I doing this to myself? So I reset my expectations to expect nothing. Now, I am also a Bills fan. And what happened yesterday in Orchard Park at Highmark Stadium in their playoff game against the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes might have been worse than wide right 33 years ago.
Really?
34 years ago. Might have been.
I think it's just fresher.
It might have been worse than Brett Hall's crease goal 15 to 20 years ago in the game 7 of the Stanley Cup in overtime. It might have been worse than that. It might have been worse than the Music City Miracle. That's how devastating this was. I want you to listen carefully to Kevin Harlan, who, by the way, is my favorite announcer, scream wide right. And if you're like me.
I like Harlan.
Right? Oh, dude, he's the king. And if you're like me and you remember a time when you're 16, 17 years old, the start of the four in a row, never before, if you remember that, Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Bruce Smith, Steve Tasker, Andre Reed, if you're from that time, like I'm from that time, and it just is, you're still in disbelief that your team could get to the Super Bowl and you could lose four in a row and it all start with wide right. And then 30 odd years later, the Chiefs are more vulnerable than they've ever been. Mahomes is in town. You're at home.
I thought for sure the Bills were going to get past it. I call them the sweeps.
You lose to another wide right kick in the dying seconds of the game.
It has tremendous support in the building. If he has to make one for us, the game on the line, he will. 44 yards, Bass. No, he doesn't make it. Wide right.
Wow.
The two most dreaded words in Buffalo have surfaced again.
What an unbelievable stand. Kansas City really did stand up and make it.
I feel bad
for Bass. Because game,
by the way, deactivated all of his social
media. Oh, did he?
Immediately following the game.
That was probably
a phone call. That's how you know social media is in everybody's head. Lance Bass, who makes a couple million a year kicking a football, phoned his wife. He's like, turn off all my social media right now. Right now.
Lock the doors. Pull the blinds.
Call the dog. Piss on the fire. We're off social media for the next year. You cannot go back on social media, honey.
I do feel bad because as much as the game was on his foot,
yeah,
it wasn't entirely his fault that they were in that situation. It was a great game. It was back and forth. Both teams made mistakes. There wasn't one thing that I think led to the Bills' loss. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, there were lots. Absolutely, there were lots of opportunities.
Little things.
You call
some injuries.
Lots of injuries, but they had lots of injuries too. Chiefs' defense was destroyed. The kicker was hurt. You've got legitimate issues on both sides. But to your point, not Tyler Bass's fault. I almost called him Lance Bass, by the way, lead singer of NSYNC or one of the guys in NSYNC.
Does he move?
On Lance Bass.
He might have to move.
Who? Tyler Bass? No, but everybody's taking it easy on Tyler Bass today. It was Stephon Diggs, like about 6 minutes before that, who had this beautiful 65-yard pass literally lobbed into his hands.
Oh.
And he dropped it, and he was gone. And there were several other drops. You saw Cook a couple of really silly drops. No turnovers, which was great. It was a clean game. And that's what I appreciated about the
Allen
game.
Allen coughed the ball out.
But no real turnovers. Nothing that you would go, okay, well, that's going to be game changer. Other than the touchback that Kansas City actually had at the end of the game where they actually fumbled it at the goal line and went through the end zone. Anyway, I don't want to go through the mechanics of the game.
No,
but to your point, yes, there were a lot of other ways that they should have won that game, could have won that game, didn't win that game. And to your point, it is literally getting so tiring. Like my buddy Dwayne Steinel from the Two Goalies, One Mask podcast, he put this out right after the game. And I didn't even laugh. I felt sorry for him. Quote, I'm so fucking sick of this, man. Heartbreak year after fucking year. Doesn't matter which team, whether it's the Bills or the Sabres. This just isn't fair. Laugh my ass off. Wide right. You've got to be kidding me.
I understand
like Buffalo correctly. Like you have to fucking know how cursed that city is with 12 feet of lake effect snow. 49 people last year died in a blizzard and they're like, let's just keep digging people out. They lose every way and then some again. It is a terrible place to spend your winters. And these people are the nicest, most happy, loving, easygoing, helpful people in the world. And and fate just continues to kick Buffalo fans, Buffalonians in the face. And they
I will say this.
So much better yesterday. Oh,
For years, I never really cheered for any particular team. I never sort of threw my allegiance towards one crest. And I had a couple of people bugging me. You got to pick a team. Come on, pick a team. So when Johnny Football got into the league, I went with the Cleveland Browns because I thought it would be funny, right? Just because he was such a controversial player and everybody hated him. So I went, okay, I'm going to be a Browns fan, right? And then when a couple of years ago, when they grabbed Deshaun Watson and signed him from Houston, I was like, I'm out. That's too much. I can't do it. The guy's awful. He's an awful human being.
You gave up your team because they signed a quarterback that effectively raped 30 plus women.
I couldn't do it. And I have a lot of people when I went on and said, I can't cheer for this team anymore. They're like, I'm on board too. And Deshaun Watson's a great football player. He's just a piece of crap human being. So I couldn't do it. So I went online and I remember asking people, what team should I pick? And Josh Allen was fairly new, I think, to Buffalo. Mm-hmm. So this was a couple of years ago. And so they said, you should go with the Bills. I mean, they're going to make a run here. And so I went with the Bills, and I actively cheer for the Bills now. And I love the Bills Mafia and the table jumping and all that stuff. You know what? If I was in Buffalo this past weekend, I would have been at the stadium shoveling snow with the fans. I thought it would. What a great day.
Wasn't it right? Awesome? Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is that those people showed up for free, minus 20 Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
20, to get kicked in the face yet again. Like, well, past 55 years.
I will say this. I have met some really hardcore sports fans in my day, and I don't know what it is about Buffalo fans, but and yet, listen, every market has them. Every market has delusional fans that live and die, like their entire lives revolve around the success or lack thereof of their team.
Yeah.
And but there is something in the water in Buffalo where those people are so connected to these franchises, these sports franchises, and it's not healthy, people.
When the game was over,
I was like, that's too bad. I would have liked to have seen them go on. And I got another beer, and my day kept going.
Yeah.
Not in Buffalo. Buffalo fans
are hiding in their homes with the lights out right now.
Dude, I talked to a friend of mine this morning that's a big Bills guy, right? Just a huge Bills guy. And I'm like, how you doing this morning? He goes, I'm not working today. I go, what? He's like, I can't work today. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, he goes, are you kidding me? Like, I'm the one that needs to understand how distraught he is. And I'm like, no, I get it. But like, life goes on. And his exact words to me were, fuck you. Fuck you, life goes on.
When you point out their dysfunction, they get angry.
Well, and that was the thing. Like, I'm like, dude, it's just a game. And he goes, just a game. Just a game. And he's the guy that took me through the Music City Miracle, wide right 33 years ago, what it did to him and his family, how his dad cried at the start of every Bills game for 10 years prior to that, and then cried like he couldn't watch games after they lost their fourth in a row. He took summers off. He was a teacher because he loved the NFL that much. And he's like, I just took the summers off and watched NFL games, traveled to Buffalo, would spend like 2-3 days ahead of time down there getting ready to tailgate. He goes, after their fourth Super Bowl loss, my dad started a landscaping business and hasn't watched a game since.
Well, he probably did it for his own health.
Exactly.
I had a friend who was a Montreal Canadiens fan. And I remember, legit, because I was on the air with him. We did a show together, and he would be so distraught over losses that he couldn't function. He wouldn't function properly on the air. And I remember
it was bothering him so much that they lost game 61. Right?
Yeah. I remember one time he was staying with me for whatever reason. And I, like, in the middle of the night, like 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturday on a hockey night in Canada. And I think the Habs had lost to the Leafs. I'm not sure. This is years ago. He's in my house. We watched the game. We had beers, and I, you know what? I make it worse because I was teasing him about it and the Habs lost and the Leafs beat him. And he was just distraught, and he would literally looked like he needed blood pressure medicine. And 2 o'clock in the morning, I get up. And I said to my wife, I said, do you hear that? And when we had kids, we put our computer in the main room of the house when they were young, because we were warned. And so there was no computers in bedrooms. There was no laptops in bedrooms. So we had, if the girls wanted to work on the computer, they had to go to the kitchen and sit at a desk that we had set up in the main room of the house. Mm-hmm. And I said to the wife, I said, I think somebody's on the computer. So I go downstairs, and it's my buddy. I won't name him because he'll be mortified. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? And he turns around, and he looks all guilty. He goes, I'm writing a letter to Hockey Night in Canada. He was writing a letter and had been drafting it for a couple of hours to complain about Don Cherry's comments during the game. And he couldn't sleep. It's a problem, Buffalo. It's a problem.
Take it easy, everybody. You don't need to be that into it.
You know, but that was impressed upon me, and it's worth a pivot, by the way, brought to you by our friends at CanTorque. Thank you for making this possible. Our guys at CanTorque make rugged, hardworking torque wrenches. The Dean Blundell Show, always brought to you by our friends in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, makers of the world's greatest rugged, hardworking torque wrenches, Canada's leading industrial tool experts, giving you the very best in sales service. Rentals, calibration, maintenance, and custom fabrication of industrial torque tools, all your solutions, one roof, whatever your bolting solution is and what you need, saving time, effort, and hassle. Learn to become a distributor for them as well. Canadian made, Canadian owned. CanTorque.com, brand new website. Check them out today. It's a great pivot because, you know, at the start of the weekend, I had, and I'll be honest, I'm not a UFC guy. I don't rent the pay-per-views.
Not a huge fan.
I watch them. Someone maybe sends me a link. Maybe it's on at a buddy's house. You go over, which is what happened this weekend. UFC 297, Toronto, Ontario, Scotiabank Center.
First time in 5 years.
Yeah, you had Strickland versus Duplessis. I think that was his name. First time in 5 years to come to Canada.
Duplessis.
Is that his name? Duplessis, South African dude who won, by the way, beat Strickland. Great fight. Wasn't unanimous. It was a split decision, but they gave it to this South African dude, which was hilarious to me.
Bit controversial.
I watched it. It was interesting. Very controversial. Not a UFC guy, so bear with me as I kind of go through the names and I go through what happened this weekend. Because the UFC really had nothing to do with why I want to talk about this, right? Why I want to talk about it is Strickland. Prior to the weekend, he's one of the MMA bad boys, one of the guys that's really embraced that kind of MAGA culture, the anti-trans stuff, big Rogan guy, hates Canada. He went off prior to the weekend, and I'll play this for you so you can actually watch it. Prior to the weekend in his presser, when someone asked him about...
Oh, you're playing this again. This is hard to watch.
I shortened it. Okay. It's only minute long. Bear with me, and then we'll get to the loss, and we'll get to some of the follow-up. Because to your point, you know those people that like... that love something so much, they're like emotionally attached to a point where it like literally becomes bad for you. Mm. That's the whole point. Anyway, let's watch this together.
You've got a pretty supportive gay and lesbian community in this city. I did want to ask you about something you wrote a couple of years ago. You said, if I had a gay son, I would think I'd...
Oh, look, another reason I'm saying in the swamp, you guys, a swamp.
You become a champion, you become a star, and some would say...
Let me ask you something. Are you gay?
Have you had the chance to come back with a more diverse...
Are you gay?
Can I get an answer?
Well, I'm asking, this is a part of... Are you a gay man?
Ally of the community.
Okay. If you had a son and he was like, you know, he had a son, he was gay, you'd be like, oh, man, you don't want a grandkid?
No problem with it.
Oh, man, what are you, dude, you're a weak fucking man, dude. It's like, this Canadian's not that Canadian.
Are you still going to use your fight time to kind of speak on that?
Here's the thing about Bud Light. 10 years ago, to be trans was a mental fucking illness. And now all of a sudden, people like you have fucking weaseled your way in the world. You are an infection. You are the definition of weakness. Everything that is wrong with the world is because of fucking you.
I'm so glad he lost.
As always, the Dean Blundell Show is brought to you by our friends at factcheck.io. Factcheck.io. Do you believe? The good people at FactCheck are a quorum of software professionals, psychological professionals, journalists that have been very busy building some software so that you can fact check anything that you read. It doesn't matter. If it's got a URL, you'll be able to fact check it. Alternative sources, origins, whether or not it was an organic or inorganic campaign, whether or not you can trust the people that are putting out the information, and alternative sources, and there's going to be a weapon button too, where you can turn that information around and put it back out there accurately. To combat disinformation, the good people at factcheck.io are right now testing their beta version of their free program. Yes, it will be free for anybody who wants to use it. They want to battle disinformation because it is a problem. Go to factcheck.io today. FACTCHEK.io. FACTCHEK.io. The world's most robust fact-checking disinformation software for news, social media, video, print, anything spoken word. These people are on the tip. And they use some of the finest software technology to be able to give you the advantage when it comes to getting agency back in your life, when it comes to information that you read. Go to factcheck.io today for more information. Sign up for the beta test, factcheck.io. The Dean Blundell Show is brought to you by factcheck.io. Factcheck.io, makers of the world's most comprehensive fact-checking software, that have been very busy building some software so that you can fact check anything that you read. It doesn't matter if it's got a URL, you'll be able to fact check it. Alternative sources, origins, whether or not it was an organic or inorganic campaign, whether or not you can trust the people that are putting out the information so that you can give yourself agency over information in the age of disinformation. Again, want to beta test their product? They're going to launch it in the next month or two. Go to factcheck.io today. factcheck.io. Back to the show.
What a
cool. Yeah, he got his ass whooped. Wow, it was a good
fight.
You could
see when the Bud Light question came on, you could see him stumbling because he was like, I don't want Dana mad at me. Because Dana just got a chunk of money to keep us relevant from Bud Light.
Yeah.
And I got to be careful how I navigate these waters, and I might not be smart enough to do so. You could see all that going through his head.
Where he did one of these, here's the thing about Bud Light. And then he takes like a 5-second pause and he's like, I don't know how to not fuck this up. So I better start talking about the trans folks.
You know what?
I better pivot.
I got to say this as well. That reporter was awesome.
Alex K. Lee is his name. Yeah.
Great job. Yeah. Congratulations.
Deserves all the awards.
Yeah.
So
the free speech thing has come up quite a bit.
Hang on, let me just point this out. So I write an article prior to the weekend, prior to him actually losing. It was on Saturday. And the article was really simple. Just a simple little piece about how he's a beta male, not an alpha, because alphas stand up for the marginalized. Alphas will risk their privilege, risk their own safety for those who need it. They don't hurt people to be cool. They don't hurt people in villages. They don't go after communities. They don't make fun of people because they feel like an alpha. Or they want people to think they're an alpha. Those are actually betas. It's the other way around. And the vitriol I got from the MMA community was unbelievable. Like if you thought it's got to be a vacuum. Every single person. I shouldn't say, I'm going to say 75% of people who love MMA legitimately think that Donald Trump won the election and don't believe in science and think that their ability to mock the gay community or call some reporter gay or an infection because he said, hey, what about those comments? Are you going to use your fight time to make those comments again this time? That's not an alpha. That's a beta. That's someone who doesn't give a shit about anybody else other than himself, right? But there's a bigger picture here, to your point. And a lot of people have started to ask this question. And it's an interesting question that comes from stuff like this. It's like, does he not have the ability to say those things, even though they are hurtful? Because Dana White sent something post-conference, and I thought it was actually pretty interesting. And
he's not a dumb guy.
He stepped in it before. Dana White has stepped in it before.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
This is what he said after the fact about free speech. And it's worth a conversation. Let's watch.
I just want to go back. You were talking about, like, you obviously give a long leash to your fighters about, you know, what they can say when they are up there with a UFC microphone and you are getting into territory of homophobia, transphobia. Like, is there...
I don't give anybody a leash.
Well, I'm saying you...
A leash? Free speech. Control what people say? Going to tell people what to believe? Going to tell people? I don't fucking tell any other human being what to say, what to think, and there's no leashes on any of them. What is your question?
I was asking that question. I'll move on, though.
Yeah, probably a good idea. That's ridiculous to say I give somebody a leash. Free speech. Brother, people can say whatever they want and they can believe whatever they want.
It's an interesting point, very simplified point, because freedom of speech sometimes comes with hate speech. And then you have to delineate and you have to decide whether or not the interest of that comment or that free speech comment is not in the best interest of humanity, which I don't believe was the case. However, it's worth a conversation, right? Is Is he doing the right thing? Is he doing the wrong thing?
My issue with it is that what they do is they expand on that thought, right? Like that what's happening in the world today is a sign of weakness, and it's culturally it's having a negative impact on us as a whole. And the issue I have with that is that there has always been these communities, and there has always been people that are different, that believe different things, that are wired differently, that like different things, and you can't control that. The fact now that they seem empowered to highlight it and make it part of a bigger problem bothers me, because
a bigger thing that shouldn't be a problem, right? Like that's effectively what he's saying. He's basically saying, and by the way, competing comments, he said the exact opposite about a year ago. I'll get to that video in a second. And this is the thing, right? Because someone says something that upsets you or offends you, it doesn't mean it was necessarily wrong. Can we quantify what Strickland said is wrong? Yeah, you can.
You can't.
Yeah. He just demeaned an individual, doesn't know an individual, called an individual an infection based on the fact that he said he's an ally for the LGBTQ community. It was all he said.
But
based
that group,
on the aggression, based on the group, anger, based on the words, right?
That group, Dean, thinks that it is somehow that somebody that is gay or trans is somehow making us less human is the problem I have with it. And there's this belief structure within that organization and that group that sort of pushes that ideology that it's a virus and that it's a growing. I just think we talk about it more now. Right. And because we're becoming more acceptant of it doesn't mean that it's going to change culture, right? I just don't believe that.
Is that what they like?
That's the sense I get from. That's my biggest issue.
Like the sense you get from people that the sense you get from people that would advocate what Strickland said, which is
saying it's like a virus. It's like a disease. It's destroying society. That's the problem I have with it. You can disagree with it. It's not. I don't think it's culturally changing who we are. Like, I mean, the percentage
the
of people
were the fact that we make space for the LGBTQ community isn't changing.
Come on,
who
the
we
percentage,
are?
The percentage of people that are trans or choose to do that. It's such a small. How is it that it's somehow impacting you to the point where you think it's changing our entire society?
Well, and this is the issue, right? Like, this is the part of it that I laugh at the hardest, is that they're taking this tiny, 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 minuscule, almost in
minuscule
and they're saying, you know what? That bothers me and will be the downfall of humanity if we pay attention to the LGBTQ community. You're not a man unless you're not this unless.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, these same people call us snowflakes or sheep. Because we get vaccinated, maybe wear a mask. Tell us that's tyranny, and so they're deathly afraid of needles and small masks. But now apparently they're deathly afraid of acknowledging the LGBTQ community.
Well, I think,
deathly afraid of being nice to the LGBTQ community. This is the part that I don't understand.
The next thing to be angry at, right?
Well, it's a dumb thing, and it's a dumb rallying cry. And I'll tell you what, it worked. Like. The whole, and this is why Dana White allows free speech. Don't get it mixed up. This was like a year ago when Strickland beat Adesanya to win the championship. Someone had also made some anti-LGBTQ or homophobic remarks. And I get jokes, but this isn't a joke. This is pretty hateful shit.
I know what the answer is usually to this, but Manel's post-fight speech used a homophobic word.
I was flying around a little bit tonight. I think these guys get... get a little excited. You make bad mistakes. Radke did the same thing, and you know me. We didn't run over to him and say, you better apologize and you better. He did that on his own. You know, when he got back stage, he was embarrassed and, you know, got caught up in the moment. And did you guys talk to him tonight? No. So he felt like he was treated like shit and, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, got emotional and whatever reason. We make mistakes.
So if that was a mistake a year ago and is just free speech today, you'd say he's moving the goalposts, wouldn't you?
Say he's moving the goalposts
for PR reasons.
Yeah. They have. I wish they would highlight their own hypocrisy a little bit more, right? Because it does happen, and it is easy to find examples of it. I think one of the biggest hypocrisies of the whole Rogan UFC, we hate Canada, F Trudeau thing. And trust me, I don't like Trudeau either. But one of the biggest hypocrisies is his views of what he refers to as, you know, Canada tyranny and all this. And he lives in a state where you can't smoke a joint.
Yeah.
Right. Like you can go to jail for having weed.
Yeah. You get you get arrested at like parent teacher interviews for saying the wrong things.
You live in Texas, Rogan,
where you smoke weed every day. Children in high schools.
You're breaking the law every day. Yeah. You're a criminal.
Yeah.
In Canada, I can leave my house right now. I can go to a weed store. I can come home and smoke a joint, and I'm not a criminal. Who's responsible for that? Justin Trudeau.
Let's get to that, because that was the other part of this thing. By the way, Sean Strickland lost, took the loss like a champ, by the way. Let me just say that. Not an MMA guy. I think Sean Strickland should be allowed to say what he wants. And let me just say that. I think anybody should be allowed to say what they want within reason. And when it's hateful, you're also entitled to the consequences. I really believe that.
I'll side with you on that.
And I also think that I should be allowed to have an opinion on their opinions that they say they're allowed to have, just as free speech, right? Which, by the way, before we get to the Rogan clip, let me sort of like Don with names. Works both ways, you guys. I don't know if you know how it works. But I streamed it for free. I won't say how. Didn't pay for it. Could have been at someone's house.
Send me that link?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'll get the guy that I know that sent me the link. And you wouldn't believe how many people like this is the Alpha Bro MMA Strickland fan base. Look what they were, literally hundreds of these. I didn't boycott UFC 297, but I did watch it for free. So I feel like I did my civic duty. This guy's like, hey, Dana White tags UFC and Dana White. Like they're going to come for me. He's like, hey guys, how is he able to do this? I think he's suggesting he stole it. You might want to look into this.
Well, they do. That's one thing. Again, like I said, when Strickland was, you know, when the Bud Light thing got brought up, you could see him start to squirm in his seat because, you know what, you're allowed to say whatever you want. Dana White can say he's a proponent of free speech in any press conference he wants. But I'll tell you what doesn't happen.
Don't touch the money.
Don't mess with the money.
Touch the money.
It was kind of smart of Bud Light, right?
To do the deal with the UFC, yeah, it was brilliant.
Dude. I think they backed a truckload of cash up to Dana White and dumped it in the lawn of the people that
I tell you what, that's
the
one
most
thing
critical
about,
of those communities.
That's one thing about the super kind key the super key freedom guys that I really love. Like Dana White's played this thing perfectly. All during the pandemic, he played it perfectly.
The COVID, like that's when I started to really get into UFC, Fight me Island.
Too.
And,
me yeah. too, yeah. I was like, I like how this guy says fuck you and just keeps getting money. Like, he finds those opportunities, and he found one in there too. Hey, listen, I get it. I understand how this whole thing works. That's why I watched UFC 297, no word of a lie, was to watch Strickland lose because of the rant that he went on. So it kind of fucking worked. To Rogan, during the fight, he streams something called Fight Companion. I wasn't aware of this. It's like this.
Yeah. Well, like him and his buddies will watch. If he's not calling it, which he calls.
He'll sit around and he'll sit in his podcast and just kind of talk about it.
He's done that for like a long, long, long time.
I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah. So he does this thing called Fight Companion, right? He's a UFC guy. He's an expert. You give him credit where credit's due.
Yeah, he definitely is. I actually like it when he calls the fights.
Yeah, he's good
really
at
good at it.
Yeah, for sure. Listen, again, I'm not I'm not anti-Rogan. I'm anti-Rogan doing this shit because he's 100% wrong and totally irresponsible. He's not a doctor and he knows nothing about this country. So during the actual fight night, chants of fuck Trudeau broke out, which will happen when you've got like a whole bunch of people that love Joe Rogan in the same place. Like, this is just kind of a natural thing, right? You've got a whole bunch of people that
this
think
does, this Kratom has is a vitamin. Its way into other factions of our society, though.
I think it has. But generally speaking, Joe Rogan has been incredibly hard on Trudeau. Whether you like Trudeau or not, he has this opinion of him that he's a tyrant, which is untrue. I don't like Trudeau either. He's definitely not a dictator, definitely not a tyrant. And Canada has its shit together, but I want you to pay special attention because he hears the fuck Trudeau chants. Then he comments on it. And then he tells everybody he supports Pierre Poilievre, but he doesn't even really know the guy's name. So I don't know if he really supports.
Just call him PP. That's what we do.
Fuck Trudeau.
How's that, the UFC?
Yelling fuck Trudeau.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
That guy's
Canada,
a piece of shit.
Canada, get your shit together. Come back. Come back to what you used to be. That Pierre Poilievre guy, however you say his name. That guy makes sense.
He's also.
That makes sense. You know what's interesting? We talked about this.
Hang on. Let me play it for you one more time. If you're Pierre Poilievre, right? And you think you're getting a PR assist from Joe Rogan and like 20 million subscribers to his podcast and, you know, social media all over the place. Do you kind of want him to get your name right? Like, do you kind of want him to go, that's your guy?
Fuck Trudeau.
How's that, the UFC?
Yelling fuck Trudeau.
Love it.
Jacket.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
That guy's Canada, a piece of shit.
Canada, get your shit together. Come back. Come back to what you used to be. That He's Pierre Poilievre guy, however you say his name.
You know what? Can I make a comment?
Yeah, for sure.
I think we need a change. And a lot of people don't agree with me.
I don't really feel like getting into politics, but go ahead.
No, but I do want to say this. I think you'll appreciate it. I think we need a change. Unfortunately, the potential change coming down the pipe is PP. And can I just say this out loud and just let this digest? Regardless of what your political stance is, whether you're liberal, conservative, whether you're not really represented by any party, which I think is a larger section of Canada than they're willing to admit, think of this. This is something that sort of hit. This is something that struck me recently. When Justin Trudeau travels, I get those cold sweats. I'm like, he's on his way to wherever. And I'm like, oh, don't dress up. Try not to embarrass. Please don't say anything.
Oh, like if he goes to a different country, gets dressed up like he's a native from that country does a bunch of dancing. Yeah.
You remember when Pamela Anderson used to be on, and it was well known. We all knew she was Canadian.
Yeah.
And she used to go on these talk shows and you'd go, please don't say anything that you're Canadian. Don't, please. You're beautiful. But stop. I feel that way about Justin Trudeau. Justin Trudeau is an embarrassing leader. And I think that's just well known. He's embarrassing.
Has been.
PP, he's a dweeb. I'm sorry. I'm worried if he does get in, we're not putting our best foot forward. Right? Like, that's where I'm at right now with where we're at politically. Like, the guy's, he's a douche. Look at him.
Yeah, he's a total dork.
I'm sorry, he is.
He's like one of those
this
angry.
This is coming from somebody who's not cool. Like, I am not cool.
He's one of those dudes. The best way I can describe it, he's one of those dudes that thought he had friends in school but didn't have any. Like this, he would come up to a certain group and he'd go, "Hey guys, how's it going? Anybody want to go to the park after?" And everybody's like, "Yeah, sure, we'll meet you there." And then he goes, "Okay, 4:00," and he shows up and no one's there. Like that was his entire fucking childhood.
Everybody
was in the bushes watching him try and meet people. And they're like, "Well, look at this fucking idiot trying to meet people." And he'd go home and he'd cry in his fucking Wheaties, and his stepmom or stepdad at the time, whoever chose to put up with that at the time as a child, was like, "Don't worry, PP, it's okay. Maybe tomorrow you'll have friends." And so he's been on this like, "I don't have any friends" resentment tour his whole life. And the only way he is this guy is if he's the antithesis. If he represents the hateful, angry views of an entire group of people. Dude, he's Maple MAGA. He's Donald Trump. He's Captain Bone Spurs. He's that dork that everybody just fucking mocked until he cried on his ride home on his BMX with the ribbons hanging off of the handlebars. That's who he is.
I'm not condoning it, but I'm saying that's the sense I get from him.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Right? And absolutely. I think that the rest of the world is going to go, what are you guys doing? You had used to dress up in costumes when he visited. And now you got this guy?
Now you got the king of the incels. Yeah, yeah. Now you got Mabel MAGA. That's your answer to that?
What is this? What is going on?
Some dude who won't even talk about his wife or where she's from. Some guy who looks suspiciously like his dad's lawyer.
I'm not wrong, right? I'm not wrong.
No. No, he's a dangerous fucking Lugan. Like, you know, today he went off on, and someone asked about residential schools. I'm not even going to play the clip. In Canada, we had residential schools. In the United States, genocide of the indigenous people who were native to this area, who owned this land for 40, 50, 60,000 years before we came over and decided to give them all smallpox blankets and murder them in fucking residential schools. So this reporter from Rebel asked him this fucking weird loaded question. He's like, blah, 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 residential schools. And he's like, well, I don't even know if those things are real, but Justin Trudeau, 8 years, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, hold the phone. We're talking about documented genocide and you're just mocking it now?
Oh,
he's just not interested.
Are you serious?
Because he's not interested in talking about anything because he can't, because he's not schooled in anything. He's just this rage baiting, rage farming lunatic. He's legitimately in charge of a cult that is like MAGA light. I call it Maple MAGA. And he legitimately he alluded to the fact that Justin Trudeau was a teacher and he might be a pedophile too. Like legitimately, it's all MAGA. He's just all in on any conspiracy, fucking Bitcoin, ultimate freedom, which is ultimate chaos. Everything's broken. Canada isn't broken. It's the safest country in the world via travelers. Like it was just voted on. Every traveler in the world that's ever traveled this year, they're like, what country is the safest? Yeah. Canada, number one. Canada's number two in the happiness index. Canada's number one in the safest place to live index.
This is a great country. I think we have some things that we could work on, definitely.
But that fuck Trudeau chant didn't sound good, though. But that was the whole point. Can we get an entire group of people screaming fuck Trudeau? And listen, am I tired of his shit? Totally. Someone else was the prime minister? Could care less. But it ain't that guy. It ain't the other guy.
Well, I've said this now for quite a few years, and I think we've had the degrees conversation. How much do people not like Justin Trudeau?
Yeah,
and I've been warning you, and you know that it's
Alberta bad. Really seems to have a thing against them.
It's bad, and it's not just Alberta. Because UFC 297 was in Toronto.
Yeah, no, that
whole
dude,
building.
Very liberal place.
He's running out of runway, Dean. And I think he knows.
Totally.
And PP, you can say what you want about him. Dweeb, don't like him. Don't like his, like, whatever. Concerned about the possibilities taking over the country. All that is legitimate. The one thing that the Conservative Party has done very, very well is they've stuck to the script. And they don't go off that script very often. And they talk quite a bit about where Canadians are at and how hard it is to live right now and that we're overtaxed.
Yeah,
and I'm telling you right now.
Weaponize victims, dude. It's super easy to do. That's what MAGA does.
That's going to work.
Are you watching it flail in the United States? Have you seen, and I want to close with Trump because he's been all time. His dementia is all time. You want like a spyglass into the future of Canada if you elect Maple MAGA? Maybe not as dementia-y.
I can't live there. I can't live in the world where we're going to get a Trump and it's going to be as bad as Trump. I can't. I go back and forth about whether or not he's going to win. I still think that the Democrats are doing a pretty decent job of scaring everybody. Like the machine behind Trump is pretty strong right now. The machine behind the fear of Donald Trump is pretty impactful as well. I think the American people are going to step up and make sure he doesn't get in, because I think that's going to be the underlying message from that group, from the left. And, but it's terrifying to think that they're going to put him in charge again.
I don't know if they will. I don't know if they will. It's funny because like that same kind of dude bro MMA vibe where it's like, yeah, we want a strong fucking guy that'll shoot anybody and rape anybody because we're alphas in the same crew. The only thing I think they wouldn't want is if Donald Trump was like totally unfit, like mentally unfit, where he like literally and brother, we're starting to see it. This was yesterday in New Hampshire. Is Donald Trump
sure they don't want that?
Oh yeah,
I no, think they're okay they're, with a little unhinged.
No, they like unhinged. They don't like weak. And when you are mentally deranged and you've got full on syphilis dementia, like dementia Don, full on syph.
I haven't seen this clip.
Oh, dude, it's unbelievable. The difference between corn and oil. Donald Trump, ladies and gentlemen.
Earned that. And, you know, we have more liquid gold and wealth under our feet than any other nation. We have more liquid gold, oil and gas, more liquid gold. Well, I just met non-liquid gold. You know where it was? Iowa. It's called corn. It's non-liquid. That's my take. You have more non-liquid gold. They said, what is that? I said, corn. They said, we love that idea. You know, that's a pretty cool thought, isn't it? That's a nickname in its own way, but we came up with a new couple of words for corn.
I mean, half of America is going to vote for that guy to be the next president of the United States. I mean,
he gets himself into trouble when he starts wading into waters of. I find myself doing this.
Did you
quite
not
often
just
well.
Listen to it? Did you not just listen to him go? You know what else? You know what isn't liquid? Corn.
I'll do that every once in a while. Like I'll jump into a conversation I have no part being in,
not
involved
like that.
In, and I'm
not
I'm
like that. Where you're like, we got liquid gold in under our into the ground. It's called oil, and then you're like, you know what isn't liquid? Corn.
Jesus, he's such a tool.
Wait, it gets better.
He might win.
The night before that, no, he won't. The night before that on Friday night. When he was asking for complete immunity of everything he's ever done, he used pedophile priests as an example as to why he should get a bit of a walk. Why
what?
You just let him? Oh, dude, it is unbelievable.
But it's a little bit like the police. So you have a rogue cop. You know what a rogue cop is? Very seldom. But you have bad people. You have people, no matter where, no matter what. In the church, you have some people that aren't so good, right? But you have people, a rogue cop or a bad apple, whatever. And what they do is they make it so that you catch, so that it can't happen. And therefore, everyone else is allowed to commit crimes, murders, like at levels that we've never seen before. No, we're going to have to do this immunity for the president. If you have a president that doesn't have immunity, he's never going to be free to do anything because the opposing party will always indict him as soon as he leaves the White House. And you can't let that happen. You can't. You take away all of the power of the presidency, it'll be a different country. So hope.
He got into that with pedophile priests and rogue cops.
His excuse to sell people on giving him full immunity, right? His PR tour where he's trying to convince everybody he didn't commit the 91 things he's been indicted for. He didn't rape anybody, even though he's been convicted of raping people. He didn't do any of those crimes. Now he's saying, listen, sometimes shit happens, like, you know, with pedophile priests and stuff. You just got to let it go. Same thing with bad cops. You got to let it go. Otherwise, these guys can't do their jobs. That's exactly what he said. And to justify it, he brought up pedophile priests and rogue cops. That is, I mean, I kind of want 4 more years of that.
Until the end of time, they're going to be trying to figure out what happened.
In the United States? Yeah.
In the world.
Like, how can anybody go?
How can anybody let that happen?
It's awesome. It's awesome. If you, for one second, don't think that this isn't the most entertaining. And everybody looks at this and then gets angry. You see the look on my face? See the smile on my face?
I find it stressful. I got to admit, I'm in that camp.
I find this to be one of the more fascinating times we've ever been in our lives. Is that this is an option. And I say this not lightly. when I'm going to say this before we go, and I want to say this, and I want to encourage everybody to think about this. I remember being a young man learning about World War II, like learning about it. My grandparents fought in World War II, landed on the beaches of Normandy. You'd get little pieces of stories. And you're like, it's so weird that like an entire country decided to embrace genocide. It's so weird that an entire country, like millions and millions of people, just decided to become super mean, racist, genocidal cocks. Like, it's so weird. I didn't understand that when I was a kid. I'm like, how does that happen? How does an entire country do that? Over the past 7-8 years, we've seen it. We've seen it. It's creeped into our country. It's creeped into Canada, where they're saying, to wrap all of this up in a bow, guys like Sean Strickland are allowed to say what they want. We're allowed to vote for who we want. And that's who we want. We want that kind of crazy. And, you know, a large portion of the United States who are teetering on authoritarianism at this point, if that guy's an option, like real dictatorial authoritarianism, Canada's right behind. Canada's like literally sidled up behind it saying, okay, listen, authoritarianism.
They're behind it, but they're using the playbook a bit.
Oh, right? Huge.
There's
it is just as much of a threat here as it is in the United States, because of who is leading in the polls and because of what they parrot and because of what they stand for. The exact same thing as that guy who literally just sat there and said, whoever's leading a country should have full immunity to do whatever he wants, kind of like priests could do whatever they want to young boys. And sort of like cops were able to do to George Floyd. Like, ponder that today when you're thinking about
my stress
ideology you're going to support going forward when you're picking leadership. Sorry, buddy. What were you saying?
No, it's okay. My stress comes from a lack of understanding and a lack of ability of being able to just like, it just doesn't make any sense to me how somebody like him can take that much control over a country. Like, it's almost like a brainwashing thing. And so it doesn't line up for me. So you can, if anybody's been watching this consistently, you've probably seen me struggle with coming up. I'm always trying to come up with theories. Trump is loved because of this, or do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's that lack of understanding of what's going on down there. And, here too.
Can I ask you a question?
That kind of gets under my skin.
When you see that kind of hateful shit, that kind of craziness, right? As like, that's our guy. Do you wonder if you're missing something? I wonder that sometimes.
No.
Like sometimes I'm like, yeah, these guys are pretty convincing that hatred, anger, marginalizing the LGBT community, lying, conspiracy theory.
If I see him say something,
I'm like, am I missing something, or like, is this just insanity to me? And do we just have insane people that love insanity? Is that like, am I missing something? Like, because if I am, I'm happy to say, yeah, I totally missed the boat on Pierre Poilievre and his rage farming and Maple MAGA. Should have been in the crew. Should have been on the ship. But I don't know if I don't think I am.
For me, it's not so much because I get why he exists. And so I can wrap my head around, okay, he's here, and I can see that maybe some people might be inclined to look at him because of the alternatives or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And I do the same thing with Canadian politics or stuff in our lives that doesn't make any sense. What I don't get is the thing that really, really bothers me is, let's say, somebody's watching this and they vehemently disagree, and the going out of your way to defend him, that's what I find bizarre. Like the other day when we spoke about the Strickland presser, I don't know. I look at that and I go, come on. I don't care what side of the fence you're on. That is not, you can't defend that. That's just wrong. But then we get attacked as soon as the podcast comes out, and you're part of the problem. That is, for me, that's the difficult thing. And so doing a daily show in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, the locker room, and if I say something negative about Trump and it sets off somebody, it's not so much what Trump does that bothers me. It's this guy in Alberta, Canada, driving around on the white mud in the snow that is so mad at me. He wants to drive down to the radio station and drag me out of the building and beat me up.
Snowflakes.
Like, that is what I can't get. Like, well, how?
They're all pussies. Like, I mean, that's the thing. It's the same thing with this whole guy that Paulie Singh, who wants to have me charged for watching UFC 297 and not paying for it. I mean, it's like, can they? And it's the same pushback, right? Well, this is free speech. I'm allowed to say what I want. Great. So am I. And I did. And we continue to do that. But what's really killer is that when you say, yeah, no problem, here's my response to that, they're like, shut the fuck up. And you're like,
they don't know where to go.
That's not how this works, dummy. That's not how this works. I'll tell you how it works. Freedom of speech. If you want freedom of speech, I can play that game. Big fan. Let's do it. You go first. I'll go second. And then I can guarantee you when you go third, you'll go, that's enough. Like, that's because they have nothing to say after that. They just want to be able to be an asshole and count that as freedom of speech. Or they want to be able to be angry or project at a gay person because they're sexually confused themselves. It's the same shit. Happens every day. And you can fucking set your clock to it. If someone is mean and if they hurt you, they are not a good person. That's all that is. You can freedom to be an asshole all you want. Just like we have the freedom to be able to respond. And you have the freedom to complain and then say, please cancel him because now he's hurting my feelings. Which is exactly what happens on the second response. Every single time, every single snowflake, every single dude all weekend long reporting, canceling. And they're like, you can't cancel our opinion. And I'm like, yeah, no problem. I can have an opinion on it. They're like, no, you can't. That's how dumb they are.
Yeah.
And I love it. It's so easy to navigate.
When I started to get involved in more and more with social media, I remember having moments where, because I pushed back a little bit on it at first. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I got to figure this out. I got to adapt this. This could actually benefit what I do for a living. And I had been on the air for years before social media was a thing. So you kind of get involved and you get out there and you see this connectivity and you think to yourself, wow, man, this is unbelievable. Like in my fingertips, I'm connected to the world. Like I sent out a tweet today because I was blown away by a video that the Foo Fighters released not even the Foo Fighters. Foo Fighters invited Jack Black out on stage. I think they're in Australia right now and they did an AC/DC cover, Big Balls. And it was hilarious. So I tweeted about it and I said, how can you not love Jack Black? And I tagged Jack Black. Now, I don't expect Jack Black to respond or the Foo Fighters, but I'm like, how can you not love Jack Black? I also tagged AC/DC. We are more connected than we ever have been. And you'd think that that ability would make us smarter. And I don't think it has. It's made us dumber. And Steve Jobs, he also thought that these things were going to bring the world together. And what has it done? It's kind of isolated us.
Yeah, it's isolated.
And that was his biggest thing.
It's isolated the dumb people. Like, smart people use this stuff to connect. They can respond well. They can navigate their way through this. Like, I've got no problem doing it. You seem to have no problem doing it. But there are people out there that think it's real life. I happen to
think
overall, it's close together. Yeah.
Overall,
it's not used for good. When 80% of the internet is porn, it's probably a good indicator that the internet's fucked. Right? Lachlan Cross, 957 Cruise FM in Edmonton. At Lachlan Cross on Twitter is where you can find him as well. Don't forget, you can get the quote, leave my mom, stay away from my mom shirt at the locker room merch store. I don't know where you get it. Just type
We're
in.
Packing up hundreds of them now. The link's in my Twitter bio. All right. I'm out of here.
I can't believe you did that, dude.
That was fun. Thank you, dude.
Is that insensitive? That was the first question of the day. Is that inappropriate? Yeah, totally. Anyway, have fun selling them. Talk to you soon. See, that's the thing. Freedom of speech. He's allowed to do that. I fully support his ability to do it. Don't agree with it. But there's a point where everybody knows what hateful is, right? I'm a fan of it. I used to do it a lot. Don't like doing it anymore. Here's the thing. The guys like Strickland and pony boys and girls online don't understand when they take this wild swing and decide to hurt a community. Trust me, I've done it before. There's nothing there. not for you. In fact, there's less there for you when you decide you're going to espouse hateful views and you're going to share those with people. And then you're going to stand there and go, I'm going to fight you for my right to be an asshole. It's an old saying, and I want to close with this today. What's bad for the hive is bad for the bee. I've said it before. Meaning you think you're delivering a hurt on a community of people. You're not. You're hurting yourself. Because it's the dirge, right? Just keeps picking away at your soul, picking away at your soul until you're like, man, am I this person? Yeah, you are. That's how everybody looks at you. You give it away. You give away your reputation. Because what's bad for the hive, you think you're hitting the hive. You think you're kicking the hive. You think you're doing something for your hive. It's just bad for you. Bad for the bee. You're the bee. Be better bees. And use your powers. That's what I do. Because I'm wired like that. I've got no problem taking people down. It's in me. Negativity is like the first thing I go to all the time. It's the way I'm wired. And I've had to rewire that. And I've had to use the critical thought. I had to think through things that I used to think were true. And I had to fucking challenge myself. I'd encourage everybody to challenge yourself today. That's the purpose of these conversations. It's the purpose of these shows. And I will say this about Joe Rogan. Hell of a work, right? Over the past several years, feeding that kind of bullshit into this country. To that incredibly receptive group of people that have a hard time doing anything other than wrestling with each other. Fuck Trudeau. I don't like the guy either. But you can't deny the power of Joe Rogan. Even though he's very poorly educated. And even though he is just repeating shit people tell him. Be better than that, people. Or not. Anyway, have a great day. Thanks so much for being here. As always, brought to you by our friends at Men's Clothing Store. Clothing for men and boys. Ed's Fine Imports. His Gitch. You can wear them. So can we. He's got a ton of them. Black, orange, purple, red. He's got all the colors of the rainbow, and you can wear these things today. Gitch, engineered for any level of performance. Boxer briefs with a pouch in the front. Buy three, get one free. Promo code GITCH3. That is the promo code you're going to use at checkout to get a free pair of underwear, courtesy of me. Also, give him your email address, and he'll give you 15% off your entire purchase. They've got footwear, accessories, boys' clothes, different brands, wedding packages, gift cards, and a full line of clothing, massive online store, but these Gitch are it, the best underwear on the planet, all levels of performance. That's what they're made for. You can run, walk, or sprint through your day, barely there fabric, completely soft, moisture wicking. Go to edsfineimports.com, get your pair today, and use Gitch3 at the checkout, and you're going to get yourself a free pair of underwear. You're welcome. Also brought to you by our friends at Muse Massage Spa. Muse Massage Spa. Located at 1290 Finch Avenue West, Unit 13, Toronto, Ontario. You can give them a call at 739-6648. That's 416-739-6648. Go to Muse Massage Spa for more details. MuseMassageSpa.com for more details. Plus, they've got a great new podcast. They're sexologists, they're sex workers, and they're advocates in the industry. And they are unabashed, tell the truth, and let you in on an industry that is impossible to talk about, but they navigate it beautifully, and it's an educational experience. And you get to learn something about therapeutic sexuality. That's what I love about these guys. That's what I love about their podcast, MuseMassageSpa.com. Download it, subscribe for more details, and go to MuseMassageSpa.com for more details, or Muse on the Mic, name of their podcast. They've also got a Patreon channel as well. And, of course, brought to you by CanTorque. As we said, making rugged, hardworking torque wrenches. Canada's leading industrial tool experts, offering you the very best in sales, service, rental, calibration, maintenance, custom fabrication of industrial torque tools. Canada's leading industrial tool experts, 20 years of expertise and knowledge, providing you with comprehensive solutions tailored to your specific requirements. From tool rentals, calibration services, repairs, and custom fabrication and distribution opportunities, CanTorque offers a complete range of services and products, making your one-stop destination for all your bolting needs, saving you time, effort, and hassle. Heavy machinery, nuclear industry, railroad industry. If you need a bolting solution and you cannot find one, these people out of Edmonton, Alberta, Canada will make it for you from top to bottom, from start to finish, from concept to delivery. They are the best in the world, and they're located right here in Canada. Go to CanTorque.com, brand new website, for more information. Have a great day, everybody. Appreciate you spending some time with us. Don't forget, you can get everything we do at Cryer.co. You can go to Cryer.co, YouTube, Dean Blundell Show on YouTube, Cryer Media on YouTube, anywhere you get your fine podcasts as well. The Dean Blundell Show. Please rate and subscribe. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. Bye.
I'm your eager beaver.
And I'm Mr. Grizzly.
If you love politics
or hate politics,
then have we the perfect podcast for you.
The True North Eager Beaver.
Incisive political commentary.
We keep you up to date
and give you the political and media literacy you seek
to help you
cut through the bovine fecal matter.
Facts first.
Sound analysis.
Sometimes I growl.
Sometimes I sass.
We impart civics and build community.
And we share some laughs along the way.
Being informed
and engaged has never been more fabulous.
Or sexy. Catch us on the Dean Blundell Network or on our YouTube channel
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Because democracy is something you do.
Hi, I'm Mercedes Nickel, four-time Winter Olympian and host of Dropping In, a podcast with Mercedes. This is a podcast where I interview a bunch of different people. I get the good, the bad, and the ugly, as well as I share my stories along the way. Now you can drop in at droppingin.com or subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. I'll see you soon.